On today's episode, we will talk about one of the darkest times in the early church history. Welcome to Cross Connection and welcome.
welcome.
So today we will have a very interesting study ahead of us. And Philip and Sophia, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's only one answer.
Okay. So we'll talk about Acts chapter 12, and it's one of the darkest times in the early church's history because they see the death of one of the prominent apostles. And then previously we talked about the death of Stephen. It's very difficult, of course. But now they see that all powers around them, they're just against the church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So before we do that, let us pray. And Sophia, could you lead us a prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us here today to read your word. Please be with us as we open the books of Acts chapter 12. Help us to get a better understanding of what happened between James and Peter and your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so, and let's just begin from the very beginning. It's a good place
to
start.
It's a good spot, yeah.
Okay, so it's Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. Sophia, I think you prayed and now can you read also?
Okay, sure. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
Okay, so look at this dramatic time. And Sergio, who are these characters that we see?
Let's take a look. I think we have three characters. I heard you mention three characters there. So let's take a look at three character profiles. The first one is Herod. Mm-hmm. Now, Herod is the ruler of Judea, and there actually were multiple Herods. So you see the Herod that you see on the screen, his face is kind of blurred out because there were all kinds of Herods. There's Herod Antipas, Herod Agrippa, Herod Antipas again. Mm-hmm. And there are all these different ones. So but basically, it's a consistent almost role that it plays in this story. So he's a ruler of Judea, and he, as we see here, he persecutes and imprisons the early Christians, even going so far as to order the execution of James. Mm-hmm. And we also saw James here. Let's take a look at him. James, as you mentioned, Oleg, is one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. He was right there in the gospel narrative. He's the brother of John, and he's an important apostle. He was one of the only three chosen to be with Jesus at his transfiguration. In fact, the times when Jesus picks three, James is usually one of them. And he's the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. So this is a really important moment here, because he really sees we lose someone big.
But let's also, this is very, very, very important. But let's also read Mark chapter 10 verses 38 and 39. And somebody would say, oh, wait a second, I thought we were studying the book of Acts.
Wouldn't we do that book already?
Exactly. But Mark chapter 10 verses 38 through 39, and Sergio, could you read these verses?
Yes, it says, but Jesus said to them,
It's just basically there's a conversation.
Then James and John.
James and John approach Jesus and they say, "Can we sit on one on the right hand and one on the left hand?"
They're seeking a position of honor in His kingdom.
In your kingdom, when you become a king.
Right.
Okay.
And so Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized."
So what is that cup that Jesus drank?
Well, we get a clue because Jesus prays that cup be taken away from him right before, when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah.
So it was his
suffering.
His death. Exactly, exactly. And what do we see where James is experiencing here? Mm. Also during the time of unleavened bread. You see this? Unleavened bread, Passover. During the time of Passover, Jesus was crucified. During the time of Passover, James is now Mm. Yeah, also killed.
Killed, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I feel like this is where, for the church, it just got real.
Yes.
Before, it was exactly all right. About, like, kind of the honeymoon period, and this is when every, like, reality sets in.
Right, right. And because, as you mentioned before, Oleg, yes, we've seen Stephen lost in our journey here in the Book of Acts, but this is a big loss, to lose James. James is one of the key apostles, and to lose him is a big loss. So you're right, Phil. It's like hitting right to the heart of this group.
But there is also very interesting, what we see is an important lesson that we as a church need to learn. The master, Jesus, Jesus was crucified.
Yeah.
And the followers, they face the same destiny, as you see. Mm-hmm. Look at James. Look at other apostles. There's only one who died his own, like, just a normal death.
James's brother, John.
Yeah, John, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody else just faced the same destiny as Jesus did.
And it's probably worth mentioning that this is not as though God is just desiring for all of his followers to die. Not at all. Mm-hmm. But in fact, this message of Jesus is such a threat to the powers of the world that inevitably you will come into conflict with them, and sometimes that will even cost you your life, as it did with Jesus.
So let's just talk about, why do you think the powers of the world are persecuting apostles, and why do you think this persecution on Christians is even beginning in chapter 12? Why? What did these Christians do?
Well, I think at that time they really challenged the structure that the government had in place, and they challenged the ideologies of the Jewish people. And the Christians were so faithful to the cause of Christianity and to spreading the gospel that they were willing to die for it. And when a person is willing to die for anything, it's very hard for them to be controlled. And I think they were afraid of that type of mindset spreading amongst the people and having so many people who are radicalized for Christ not being willing to listen or abide by what the government wanted them to do.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because we've seen this group of Jesus followers be a threat to the religious powers of their world, and that's easy to understand why, if they're forming a new way, a new path. But here, as you point out, Sophia, they're also a threat to the government. And now even the political ruler, now Herod, is getting in the mix and saying, wait a minute, we got to put a stop to these guys. Yeah.
It's very interesting how Rome, as well as Judea, they could easily cope with revolutions.
Yes.
Because revolutions is very easy to do. What, like, you have a revolutionary, you come, you just kill the revolutionary, done.
Yeah, yeah, go back
it's
home.
Dispersed.
Have dinner.
Everything
yeah.
is dispersed. Yeah. Like there, everything, no, it's over. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Christianity, they killed the revolutionary. They killed one apostle, second apostle, third apostle, but it still is flourishing.
Yes.
What
yes.
is going on with this movement?
Yeah.
This movement is not of this world.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a... It's a profound thing, and it's reminding me of I had the opportunity to go to India a few years ago, and India is where, it's not written in the Book of Acts, but it's supposedly where the Doubting Thomas, the apostle, went. And he apparently presented such a threat to the caste system there, where everyone is supposed to be in their caste, and you can't move out, however much money you have, that's the role you're in. And when he presents this gospel, it says, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, God loves everyone. He literally was, again, according to the tradition, he was murdered by those people in power, because the gospel is a threat to people that want to separate us and lord over other people, as Jesus told James and John and Mark. Yeah.
And it's interesting how the powers that actually begin persecuting the church are political powers, but also religious powers.
Yeah.
And this is what we see.
And that's what stands out to me, because this is God's chosen people. These are the descendants of God's chosen people. This is who God set up. And yet they're the ones that are kind of like the main people that are kind of leading the persecution.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he even says, Herod saw that it pleased the Jews.
Yes, verse 3 is just, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter as well.
Yes,
Very nice.
And that's the point that we find ourselves now, is this, we've just lost someone really close to us in the form of James, and Herod's not done. Now he's going after Peter, and Peter is now in mortal danger, and we're going to have to find out what happened to him right after the break, so stick with us. Thanks for sticking with us. You're still watching Cross Connection Acts, and we've seen what has happened to James. The persecution has been upped to another level now, and now they've taken Peter, maybe the most important person in this whole movement up until this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I want us to do, I want us to see that first we talk about churches persecuted. So the church is persecuted. And now we come to another point, which is the church is perceived as a threat. Mm. So the church is perceived as a threat. And this is, we see it actually because, first of all, James was just killed. And then Peter is one of the leaders, mm-hmm. prominent leaders yeah. of the church. He's taken also in prison mm-hmm. because so they think that, okay, the church is a threat. So now we take the leader. Right. Maybe it will be over, but it's not.
Right. So as we kind of get into that portion of the story, let's take a look at a Absolutely. Character profile for Peter. And this is actually going to be our final good look into Peter. He'll appear again very quickly in chapter 15, but this is kind of the last Peter story in the book of Acts. So as we know, and we've seen many times, he's one of the 12 apostles. And here we find that after James is killed, Peter is put into prison. But then God actually sends an angel to release him. Mm-hmm. And so This is the prison break that we read about here. Yeah.
So why do you think it's so important to see the story and what was the reaction of Peter when he was in prison? What was the response? If you read verse 5, for instance, let's read verse 5.
This constant prayer.
Yeah. So what is that? So what is the lesson that we need to learn?
We need to pray for our members who are in prison. And it said the church constantly prayed for him while he was in there. And because of that prayer, the angels came to his assistance. But he was in so disbelief, I guess he was half asleep, he thought he was dreaming. He didn't mm-hmm. think it was real. He didn't mm-hmm. think angels mm-hmm. were actually there. And so I think it should encourage us, if we have people that are in danger or in a rough situation, to be constant in prayer and to constantly pray for them yeah. so that heaven can intervene for them.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And I think the context of this really emphasizes that for us, because it mentions that they were in constant prayer for him, mm-hmm. and that verse comes right after talking about how James was killed.
Yes.
You know, so I think there's that maybe they were praying a little harder yes. than normal, saying, wait a minute, this can really hit home. Mm-hmm. There are dark forces in this world that are going to oppose us. We need to pray. Peter could be next. Mm-hmm. Peter might be dead for all we know in prison. So they're praying earnestly for him. And I think we need to keep that in mind, too, that we shouldn't be so nonchalant about the fact that there are things that can attack us mm-hmm. and that can bring us down. And we need to be praying for each other all the time.
And I found this verse especially powerful because it's the contradiction. Peter was therefore kept in prison, mm-hmm. but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
Right.
And I feel like that's the thing. It's kind of like, well, Peter was in a really bad situation, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but there was a lot of prayer going on.
Yeah. So it's like the light. Right. There is this darkness, right. but the light will right. continue shining.
Mm-hmm. And it's an emphasis on faith. What mm-hmm. do we? What is our response when bad things happen? Mm-hmm. Do we just go, oh no, why is this happening to me? What is going on? I thought God was with us. Now James is killed and Peter's in prison. It's over. Game mm-hmm. over. What's happening? Instead, they go, no, God can get us out of this. Yeah. And they pray about it. And it's a reminder.
See, there's so much in here that I want to know, though, because yeah. I want to know what they were praying about. Because it doesn't say what they were praying about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this whole section to me is all about faith, because they were praying to God, but I want to know what they were praying about, because God got him out of prison, mm-hmm. and yet they didn't believe it, which we haven't gotten mm-hmm. to that yet, but later on, like, mm-hmm. like it's almost like Peter's banging on the door, like, hey guys, it's really me.
Your prayer was actually answered.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody believes it.
Right, right, right.
But it's amazing how political powers, they actually know that to go against the church is actually scary. Mm. Mm. Why to go against the church? Not just to go against the church, because the church by itself has no value if it's not filled with the Spirit, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. if it's not filled with the Holy Spirit. So, because look what happens in verse 4. Because look at this. First of all, when Herod, mm-hmm. so let's just read verse 4. So when Herod arrested him, mm-hmm. he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers yes. to keep him.
Yes.
Just one man, right. four squads.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And later soldiers. It mentions that he's chained between two
between
soldiers.
Between two soldiers. Yeah. Let's see that as well. It's just...
it's in verse 6.
Verse 6. Okay, can you read that verse?
Yeah, and it's verse 6 says, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers.
Okay, but think about it. And then the guards also were in front of the...
Yes.
So the guards are... So he's surrounded. Mm-hmm. Why? why a political leader, one man, he takes all these soldiers to protect. So just it's you, because you see, even political powers who go against the people of God, they feel and know they're going against the powerful, powerful source.
But you know, it's powerful for me to read this as a Christian now in the context of Luke is writing this down saying, this is the story of how this Christian movement got started. And the message is, it didn't get to where it is by people, maybe it did later, but through coercion and bribery or sneaky dealings or political maneuverings. Luke is saying God himself delivered people, even when the entire world is conspiring to do everything they can to keep this movement down, it thrived anyway. And I gained tremendous encouragement from that and say, well, why not today? Why should I think that can happen today?
Yeah, what an encouragement, because it talks to us.
Yes.
Because we can also, even though these powers go against us, first, we need to pray for those who are persecuted. Because this is what makes us united. This is how we unite. And secondly, even if we are persecuted, there is still this light.
No, I think it's powerful. And it's just, you know, we know that Peter ended up going to Rome. He ended up doing other things. I just can't imagine how his strength would have been emboldened by just knowing, man, they sent me with four squadrons of soldiers, you know. I was chained between two of these, like, super buff dudes with swords, and they couldn't keep me down. So whatever. Throw whatever you have at me. I know that God's got this. God's got me, you know.
Yeah, and let's read one verse, which is basically the key verse, chapter 12, verse 11. This is the reaction of Peter. So Peter was chained between two soldiers, and then in the middle of the night, he just, in his, I don't know, just trance or whatever that was, he just walks out without even knowing that he is walking out because he thought it was a dream. And then verse 11, and Phil, could you read verse 11?
And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people."
So look what do you see here?
I love that it takes him getting out of the prison, going down a street, and then he's like, oh, yeah, this just happened.
He's pitched himself and, wait, I think I'm awake.
But it's powerful because, I mean, imagine thinking that you're in the worst situation possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know of someone else that's already been killed for their faith, and then you see God personally intervene to help you out. I think that, to me, that's just powerful.
Yeah.
I also think that he was a little bit taken aback because I think Peter was probably in prison thinking, this is the end.
Right.
This is how I'm going to die.
He
saw what happened to James. And so I think it was completely unexpected that the angels would come and deliver him. So he probably was saying, like, wow, God is really, like, working things out for me. I think he was ready for, you know, God to take him and for him to be, you know, caught up and be with his Savior. But God intervened, and it was so unexpected. And it kind of reminds me sometimes when you're in a tough situation, you're kind of just making up your mind of how you're going to deal with the tough situation. And so when God intervened, this totally unexpected, it brings you by surprise. You're like, wow, God, you really came through for me. And it really builds your faith even that much more.
Very nice. So when you're going through the darkest time of your life, and then you see that you almost walked through without even knowing that you walked through that darkest time, and then you find yourself in the middle of the light, say, God, thank you so much for sending that angel so that we could walk together. And don't go anywhere, because we'll continue our discussion after this break. Welcome back to Cross Connection, and we continue our discussion of Acts chapter 12. So what we see in verse 11, it's very interesting because it says, verse 11, Phil, could you read verse 11 again?
And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people."
Look, he's saying that the Lord delivered him from, one, political power, and second, from what? From religious power.
Yes, yes.
So why the church sometimes a persecutor? I mean, the church or religious powers, why is it happening?
Well, I mean, it can be a threat for many reasons, but when you have an ideology that makes, that says, none of this is what it's all about, not Herod, not the religious powers, not any, but Jesus, that's going to be a threat to whoever's in charge. When you say, no, you're not in charge, Jesus is in charge, there's going to be a threat to whoever's in charge, you know. But we see that that belief system is redemptive, because if this were the story of just some people that were following a false faith or a God that didn't exist, this story would have a very sad ending, and that would just be the end of it. But instead, we see this powerful redemption, and Peter is delivered.
And this is a lesson to me, because I want to focus on Christ, but it's easy to get set up in the things that I've kind of established in my life. And to me, this is what the Jewish people did. They got they kind of had their way of doing things. They had their religion, and they weren't willing to accept Christ. So they were trying to push down the thing that was that they were fighting against.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, this just reminds me, you know, who am I really focused on? Am I in Christ, or am I focused on what my church is, or my community, or anything like that? And the focus really needs to be on Christ.
Right. And we've talked about it many times here in our studies in the Book of Acts, but the Book of Acts is best described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we see that at work here again. And we've seen it over and over. This persecution happens, but the Word of God continued to flourish. And this happened, but the Word of God continued to flourish anyway. And we see that here again, that they just cannot keep this movement down. And I think we need to take tremendous encouragement from them. They just cannot stop them. And we see that continuing here with Peter.
Because this unity of church that is united by worshiping, because we saw it throughout in chapter 11 and so forth, they worship together, and as the result, the Holy Spirit was in them. It's an unstoppable force. And this is a force that actually challenges the world around to become better. And when you're challenged, when you see the light, you want to remain in darkness. You want to destroy the light. Because it's very difficult to look at the light. Because it's much better to remain in darkness. And this is what the church is, what we see, this violence that they want to set on the church. But look, let's take a look at how Herod actually ended up. What happened to him? I mean, it's a sad story, because there could have been a different story.
Yes.
There could have been like Sergius Paulus,
we read about it.
We read also in the Book of Acts how he actually said, he was also a proconsul, so he's one of the serious people, and he said he converted.
Yes.
He said, this is a movement that I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
In this case, we see a different story. Right. If you reject, persecute, this is the result. Let's read verses 20 and all the way to 23. And we need to read 24 as well. So it's 20.
You know what? Let's just read.
Let's just read, because it's so good. No, because it's really good. Okay, Sophia, could you read these?
Sure. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied.
Okay, so this is not a very pleasant death, of course.
No, it's pretty. Luke seems to be really adding some gory details here. Luke is almost savoring this death. Of course, he's not savoring the death, but I mean, he's really showing that Herod got what was coming to him, kind of. Because I believe Josephus records this incident as Herod did die in Caesarea, and but Luke mentions these worms and all of this, and that he did not give glory to God. So it's just it's the kind of Herod getting what he deserves.
Yeah, but so when the church is persecuted, when the people of God are persecuted, this is the result that we see, and we see it in many countries also, like countries where church has been persecuted for many decades. Yeah. Like coming from former USSR, this is exactly what my grandparents experienced. I caught a little bit of that as well. Yeah. The church has been very seriously persecuted.
Yes.
Look what happens to the government. It just destroys everything.
Right.
Everything is destroyed.
Right.
Economy is destroyed.
Yes.
Everything is destroyed. There is no blessing.
Right.
Any country that persecutes others serves as destruction.
Right. And well, you know, and one of the things, to your point, Oleg, that we talk about all the time here on Cross Connection is we need to always be asking the question of why did the author include this detail in this spot? You know? Luke didn't have to mention that Herod died. He certainly didn't have to describe it in the kind of detail that he describes it. Why is Luke mentioning it, and why is he mentioning it here?
Because there is verse 24.
Yes. The word of God grew and multiplied. And that's the message that, that Luke wants to leave us on for this portion that is, you know, Herods are going to come and go. Well, you know, this USSR doesn't exist anymore. You know what I mean? These things come and go. So these oppressors are going to come and go. But this movement that began here with Jesus, it can't be stopped. It's going to go forever and ever. And that's the message he leaves us with.
And I think it's great because it shows us the individual stories that people are involved in, but also tells the whole story of the world. I mean, the battle of good and evil, and in the end, God's going to take care of things. Like, it's all going to be wrapped up. The Herods aren't going to matter anymore, and God's going to just kind of wrap everything up.
But no, this is so beautiful because what you're describing is a microcosm. Like, it's right here. This is it. But it also covers the entire world history. Because even if we go through persecution today, but remember. There is a time when God will come again. Jesus will come and say, you know what, let me take you home. Let me take you home.
Yeah, no, and you know, sometimes we hear in Christian environments, people say things like, or there's the assumption of, well, why are bad things happening to good people? Why does this happen? God must be punishing me or whatever. And that's not what we see in Acts. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we see it.
God does not punish.
And God is not the cause of it. God is the deliverer from it. This is what we need to remember. Herod, people like Herod cause these problems. People like people that are caught up in their religious power cause these problems. God is the one who gets you out of prison, not who throws you in.
Because it's the evil. It's the evil that is within people. It's the evil force that is outside of people. This is who wants to completely destroy the followers of Jesus Christ. But the followers of Jesus Christ will persevere because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, what do you think?
I was reading verse 24 in the New International Version, and instead of saying it grew and multiplied, it grew leaps and bounds. And I like that expression because it shows that not only did it grow, but it increased, it magnified. It grew exponentially than it was growing before.
Beautiful. Guys, thank you so much. This has been an awesome study. We thank you so much for joining us from home or wherever you are right now. But until we see you again, let the Word of God continue to flourish and grow by leaps and bounds in your life. Until we see you again, peace.